Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Acts chapter 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there, and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names in your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren, and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed, and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ.
I will follow Him.
Lesson 107, The Traveling Missionary. In our last lesson, we followed the missionary journey of Paul, Silas, and Timothy from Thessalonica to Berea and then on to Athens. In each location, they met with opposition to the gospel, but also many believed and new assemblies were established in each place they visited. In today's lesson, we will continue to follow Paul as he spends time in Corinth and sees a new assembly started there, and after some time travels the long distance back to Jerusalem and then back into Asia once more. We could certainly call Paul the traveling missionary, since his travels took him from Jerusalem to Antioch throughout Asia and all its various regions, and then on to northern Greece, that is Macedonia, and southern Greece, Achaia, and then sailing across the Mediterranean back to Judea. As we think of the miles that Paul traveled with his companions, we are left to marvel at the many places he went to and the many churches that were established and strengthened through his tireless labors. Some have estimated that Paul traveled as much as 13 or 14,000 miles in all of his journeys and without the help of a car, airplane, or bus. Paul was in Corinth for 18 months after leaving the philosophical center of Athens. In Corinth, he met a Jewish couple named Aquila and Priscilla, and he stayed and worked with them because they had the same trade of tent making. Paul, as was his custom, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day to reason with the Jews and persuade them from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. When he met with opposition, then he said to them that their condemnation could not be blamed on him, and now he was going to preach to the Gentiles. Through Paul's gospel work, many people in Corinth believed and were baptized. Paul received a special message from the Lord in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, but speak in this city." What a wonderful word of encouragement from the Lord, and perhaps Paul was feeling a bit overwhelmed with the opposition he was enduring and had faced in every city they had visited. The Lord wanted Paul to continue preaching to the people with assurances that he would not let anyone harm him. The Lord also pointed out that he had many people in that city. This could mean that the Lord had many who were true believers who would be there to encourage Paul, or it could also mean that the Lord, knowing that many of the people of Corinth would turn to the Lord, referred to them as his people. Whatever we understand, we see how the Lord was comforting his servant as the battle for the gospel was being fought. It is wonderful to serve God and know that He not only looks after the needs of His workers, but protects them from danger and comforts and encourages them in the midst of trials. While in Corinth, the Jews were persecuting Paul and brought him before the Roman proconsul Gallio. But when they made their complaints about the teachings of Paul, he became upset with their trivial arguments and said they should go and settle their own religious debates. The whole affair upset some of the local Corinthians, as they did not really care much for the Jews, so they took the synagogue ruler and beat him before Gallio. But Gallio did not show any concern or interest. Often those of passionate faith impose upon those of differing beliefs, expecting some sympathy as though everyone should see and understand as they do. This shows a lack of respect and also some spiritual pride. God can use the Christian to tell forth a truth, but would choose rather to use a humble and sincere believer than a proud and arrogant person. So often this was the case with the Jews, and why they did not meet with favor in the Roman cities in which they dwelt. After some time, Paul left Corinth and made his journey back to Jerusalem, and then back to Antioch. This concluded his second missionary journey, and it appears that he traveled alone and left Timothy and Silas in Achaia. He left his friends Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus while on his way back to Judea. In Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla met a man named Apollos. Apollo was an expert in the Old Testament scriptures and a great preacher, but he did not know anything more than the baptism of John, for as yet he had not heard about Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him speak, they took him aside privately and explained to him the way of God more perfectly, explaining all about Jesus the Christ. This made Apollos a mighty gospel preacher, and he went about preaching that Jesus was the Christ, with very convincing and convicting messages from the scriptures. It is interesting to notice whom the Lord chooses to serve in the preaching of the gospel. Paul, who was a sworn enemy of the church, was dramatically converted, and being a well-educated Pharisee who knew the scriptures, became perhaps the most influential missionary in the church's long history. Apollos also became a powerful preacher of the gospel because of his knowledge of the Bible. From this we should recognize that our usefulness in the kingdom of God directly relates to how well we know, understand, and practice the teaching of the Bible. If you have not yet read the entire Bible, let me challenge you today to set this as a good goal to try and achieve. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Acts chapter 18, verse 24.
I will follow him. Touched my heart, I knew.
For today's Bible question. Today we learned about Paul as the traveling missionary who traveled thousands of miles to proclaim the message of eternal life to as many as would hear. Everywhere he went, he met with opposition from the Jews, but that did not deter him, and the Lord encouraged him to press on and preach to the people. Someone might ask the question, who is properly qualified to teach the scriptures to the people of God? We can certainly see how God chose both Paul and Apollos to preach the Bible to others. This was because both of these men had learned the Bible very well and therefore could speak accurately and with authority about God's Word. But do notice that both Paul and Apollos first had to be converted to the Christian faith and come to understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, before they were qualified to preach in the New Testament church. They were well qualified to teach the Old Testament teachings in the synagogue, but only after they became believers in Jesus Christ were they ready to take the gospel and Christian doctrine to others. It is also interesting to notice that both of these two men, who knew their Bibles well, became such powerful preachers, convincing both Jews and Greeks that Jesus was the Christ. With Paul, it took a miraculous visit by the Lord to open his understanding that Jesus was indeed the Christ, but once he could accept this, he immediately preached effectively from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. In Apollo's case, he did not need a miraculous vision from the Lord, but some kind Christians explained to him the way of God more perfectly. And once he understood the truth about Jesus, he became a mighty preacher of the gospel. So clearly, one of the most important qualifications of teaching the Bible is not only to know the Bible, but especially to know the Christ of the Bible, namely Jesus. But what does the Bible teach us about special ordination to preach the gospel? We might expect that there should be some ordination or formal recognizing of God's call on a person to teach His Word. We could come to this conclusion based on the practice of the Church over many centuries, which has appointed and ordained men to preach. Schools also ordain men as preachers or spiritual leaders. The practice is so widespread we would be convinced that this practice must be found in the Bible, but strangely is not found in the New Testament. During the Old Testament period, there were certainly appointed leaders, kings, prophets, and priests. In the New Testament, we have the appointment of the original apostles, but after them, the only appointments made in the local assemblies was the appointment of recognized elders and deacons. We do not find anyone ordained to preach or to pastor the Church of God. The elders were men recognized in the local church by the Christians. These were men who busied themselves in God's work and were teaching the Word. We notice that Paul and Barnabas were never formally called to preach at Antioch, and yet we find them there in the church preaching for a whole year. It can be inferred also that Timothy was likely a preacher in his area when Paul found him, and this was without any special ordination. When Paul wanted Timothy to join their mission team, the elders of the church laid their hands on Timothy, not to ordain him to Christian service, but simply to identify with his calling and recognize him as the Lord's servant. In Acts 13, it was the Holy Spirit who pointed out who was to go to the mission field, and it was not through the ordination of men. The church simply laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas to show their recognition and acceptance of God's unique role given to them to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Aquila and Priscilla took aside the teacher Apollos to explain to him the way of God more perfectly. From this we can learn that any of God's children can convey their knowledge of the gospel to others in need of it. This married couple were tent makers and were not ordained to preach, but they felt a liberty to speak with Apollos and give instruction to the man. God used that to help this man become a mighty preacher of the gospel. This should encourage every Christian to be available to open the scriptures and teach others the truths we have been taught by the Holy Spirit. It is a sad condition in the church today where many Christians are under the delusion that the teaching of the Bible belongs to a select few people who have been ordained to preach and teach. This is not what we read or learn from the New Testament. Any believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit has every right to share with others what he or she knows from the Scriptures to help others learn of Christ. Imagine how wonderful things would be if every Christian sought to have Bible studies in their home. An opportunity was given for all believers to learn how to share and teach the Bible to others. This would cause the work of the Lord to advance so much more. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com. emmauspodcast.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus sent me with a stranger, wandering from the home of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Unto grace, how great a debtor, daily
if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024 1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Sin and strife. Oh, and how will they know me? But by my word. Oh, and how will you tell them unless you go and